Thank you again, Mr. Holloway. Okay, back to our roadmap. You're rested now, refreshed, and ready to complete our journey to the kingdom. Remember, from a prophetic point of view, repentance was not available to mankind until the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is where repentance becomes available to mankind in general, at Christ's sacrifice. We'll talk about all of those who went before we complete this presentation. But those before, this is when repentance becomes generally available, sacrifice of Christ. And then, following fairly soon after that, repentance and baptism, as stood for by the days of unleavened bread. And then, not very long after that, the founding Pentecost, the founding of the New Testament church, and the giving of God's Holy Spirit. Those things are pictured by these holy days. From a personal point of view, we have to start here, accepting the sacrifice of Christ, repenting of our sins, being baptized, having hands laid on us, and receiving God's Holy Spirit. That's where we are at this point. On the fourth point, on the way to our destination, which is the kingdom of God. Destination is kingdom of God. Kingdom of God isn't here yet, is it? We understand, essentially, what the kingdom of God is. It's the coming of Christ back to the earth to establish his government and to bring about peace, prosperity, and happiness for all of mankind in a way that mankind has not been able to produce for himself. Mankind living apart from God. And only when we get to the kingdom of God will that finally become a reality. You know, that's been an objective of people for many, many long years. It was bring about utopia. And all of those efforts have failed because they are trying to do it their own way apart from God. But we have reached here the point where mankind had now received God's Holy Spirit, where the church was founded, and now we have to proceed from there. It's been a long time, though, hasn't it, since the church was founded? And the next step didn't come very fast. The next step, what is the next step? It didn't come very fast because it's been 2,000 years. You know, those first four steps, Christ being crucified, the days of unleavened bread, picturing repentance and baptism, and then the founding of the church and God's Holy Spirit, they came within 1 year. They all occurred within 1 year. But then it's been 2,000 years since then. The kingdom of God isn't here yet. What is the next point? We are here at point four. If we go here to point five, for Hazel and myself, that point, Oslo. We went to Oslo from Copenhagen. On our spiritual journey, the next point is the Day of Trumpets. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So that is the next spot on this roadmap to the kingdom. Blowing of trumpets represents two things. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Ooh! Ooh! Two different kinds of trumpets. I probably will get in a lot of trouble for that when I get home. But my imitations are not widely approved of. I can't understand why. But the musical instrument, the trumpet, the musical instrument, da-da-da-da-da-da, it was to be blown. And here in Leviticus 23, it is, you know, the fifth spot on the Holy Day map that's given to us in Leviticus 23. What does it picture? Prophetically, what does it picture? Personally, what does it represent? Prophetically, there are two different trumpets being blown. The musical trumpet pictures the coming of a king, a fanfare being blown when a king arrives. I guess they still do it when the President of the United States appears somewhere. They play, I think, ruffles and flourishes or something like that, some fanfare whenever he appears. But they always typically announced through many centuries the coming of a king by blowing a trumpet. There is a king coming. That king is being announced, according to the Bible, by the blowing of a trumpet. The other trumpet being blown represents an alarm. An alarm of war, the shofar, the ram's horn, which is also to be blown on the Day of Trumpets, does not represent anything like the coming of the king. It represents a time of terrible warfare, which is also being pictured by this Day of Trumpets. Disciples asked Christ about the trumpet. Matthew 24, verse 1. Christ went out, departed from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. They were going to say, oh, look at this. Isn't this wonderful? You're our teacher, our master. Look at what all of these people have done to build these buildings. Christ said, don't be so impressed. These buildings are not so wonderful. See, don't you see all these things? Truly I say unto you, there's not going to be one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Then he went across on the east side of Jerusalem through the valley and up on the Mount of Olives. When he got onto the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him again and wanted to ask him questions. Tell us when. That's what we want to know, isn't it? When? It's been 2,000 years, and the generations that followed, they sort of got discouraged. Well, they really got discouraged, not sort of got discouraged. They got discouraged because it hadn't happened. Some of them gave up. Many of them tried to redefine what the meaning was of the coming of God's kingdom. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age? And Christ goes on to answer that question. Here is what will happen when the trumpet blows. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. For those who are Christ's true disciples, this will be what is going to happen for them. I mean, we're talking here, the world, the prophecy for the world is that Christ will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For those people who have been called and chosen and faithful, this is what will be occurring. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. By that he means those who have died. Death is a sleep. Death is not going to heaven and seeing the beatific vision. Death is not going to hell and being roasted forever, eternally without any hope of redemption. It just isn't. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we do believe that, don't we? Even so, them also which have died in Jesus, sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. This we say unto you, the word of the Lord, we which alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with trumpet of God, day of trumpets. Next point on the roadmap. The next thing which we're going to experience on God's holy day plan, return of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When will that be? He didn't answer his disciples. We have a somewhat of a sketchy outline. You know, we talked about that. How long would it be? We don't know. We're in the general time period in which he will return. But we don't know. We don't know how far away it may be. If it's 100 years from now, probably none of us will live to see it. I know I'm not expecting to live to see it. Some of you may. Some of you may. The dead in Christ shall rise first. From a personal point of view, the first fruits of God will be resurrected. That's what it is for you personally. For all of mankind, it is the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to confront the forces of evil. Both the return of a king and a time of terrible warfare. For us personally, the instruction, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. This is not true for all of mankind, but it is true for those who are called and chosen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. The time is come. That judgment must begin at the house of God. So, you sit here and you hear these things week by week, Sabbath by Sabbath, you are under judgment. The rest of the world out there, they're not under judgment yet. Time is coming when they will be under judgment. All of the people who lived for the first 3,000 years, 4,000 years before Christ came, they weren't under judgment. They will be under judgment before God's holy day plan is completed. So, for you and I now, we need to take these things very seriously, because the time is now. Begin at that point. The time is come, Peter said, within a few years after the death of Christ, that judgment must begin at the house of God. It began then because it hadn't been something that happened before then. It began at the death of Christ and the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost. Judgment had begun at the house of God. And so we celebrate. That's our fifth point on our roadmap to the kingdom. We celebrate the Day of Trumpets. It's the one we most look forward to now. It seems almost impossible that it will happen, but it will happen. It will happen. The next stop for Hazel and I, we went to this little place here because we had some people, a family of about 8 people there in this little place. It's a ski resort area, beautiful place, very picturesque, really rugged mountains. And Norway is really quite a picturesque country with the fjords at the bottom of the tall, rugged mountains. Sweden is not so. Sweden, at least the part of Sweden that I've seen, it's not so spectacular. But Norway, in this area at least, very spectacular scenery. These very rugged peaks and these fjords and lake-like things down at the bottom of those peaks. Very picturesque. This little place is Geilo. G-E-I-L-O. But it's pronounced, I mean, I have been coached a few times on some of the pronunciations in these parts of the world. This one, G-E-I-L-O, how would you pronounce that? It's properly pronounced. I'll give it a shot. I don't know if I'm doing all that well even now. Geilo. You really hit the last part of it hard. And the G-E. I is Yai, G-E-I-L-O, Geilo. And so that sort of corresponds to the next spot, the next location in our spiritual journey, which is the Day of Atonement. So after the return of Christ comes the Day of Atonement. And we really can't have the kingdom of God until the Day of Atonement is fulfilled. Christ will return, and he will establish the beginning of his kingdom, the resurrection of the first fruits, the resurrection of the dead, those people who will live and reign with him for 1,000 years. But the establishment of the kingdom really depends on the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. What is the Day of Atonement picture? Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 26, instructions about keeping it. From our map, our road map to the kingdom, here all found in one chapter, Leviticus 23, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, 10th day of the 7th month, a Day of Atonement, a holy convocation. For you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Don't do any work. All of the instructions about how to keep it follow. And verse 32, it shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and so on. It gives you more about how you are to fulfill it. Here is the meaning of the day. Prophetically. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Okay. Spot on the roadmap. Spot on the map to the kingdom. Satan is going to be taken and bound. He's going to be pulled away from mankind where he cannot influence mankind for 1,000 years. That's the prophecy. That is the next. The next stop on the roadmap is the return of Jesus Christ. And soon after that return, this will happen quickly, will be the binding of Satan for 1,000 years. He'll be taken away. His influence, which is enormous now, we don't recognize it because we're right in the middle of it. But the influence that he has on all of mankind right now is enormous. He's going to be taken away. Verse 3, cast into the bottomless pit, shut up, and a seal set upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So that is the sixth step on our roadmap to the kingdom. For us personally, we are to come and accept our atonement from Christ. Passover, the initial forgiveness. But as we continue through time in the church, and would that it wasn't so, but it is so, we continue to sin from time to time. We're trying to overcome it, but we're far from perfect in that regard. Our initial forgiveness is as a result of the Passover, but then we are covered over, our sins are covered over on an ongoing basis through the sacrifice of Christ, the Day of Atonement. Atonement is a time when mankind will be reconciled to God, at one with. The word atonement means at one with God. Mankind finally will be at one with God when the Day of Atonement is fulfilled. For you and I personally, we keep atonement, and because judgment is now on the house of God, when we keep atonement, we are now to be at one with God. But only a small minority of people. Only a small minority of people. Many are called, few are chosen. Christ said, called us a little flock. Little flock. And so that's the situation. Atonement is now for the house of God to be reconciled to God. But at the return of Christ and the binding of Satan, all of mankind will finally be reconciled to at one with God. So that's the sixth point on the journey. We got one more point, and then the destination. One more point, and then the destination. The next point, here we went to a place. Right here to the north of Denmark, Aarhus. I think I pronounced it correctly. I was coached in this by Dorothy DeGeneres. If she sees this and sees how I pronounce it, maybe she will make an effort to improve my pronunciation. I don't know. Aarhus, as I understood her to be telling me to say it. Aarhus in Denmark. What is the next stop on our roadmap to the kingdom? It is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. We're instructed, Leviticus 23, I'll just read a couple of verses. It's kind of quite a bit of instruction, really, in Leviticus 23. And it's a really good idea to read over and over and over Leviticus 23, because it really is the equivalent of looking at our roadmap, and gives us a lot of information. Not all information, but a lot of information. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 33, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Revelation 20 and verse 4, talks about that time. It instructs us about what we will be doing at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. I saw thrones. They, who is they? Well, they is us. Kind of like Pogo might have said, we is them. They is us. They sat upon the throne. Judgment was given to them, and then he gives a litany of the people that would be in this group, and he says the rest of the dead did not live again till the 1,000 years were finished, the first resurrection. living and reigning on the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. What will that 1,000-year period be like for all of mankind? Looking at it in the aggregate, prophetically, for all of mankind. I just covered a little bit about the instruction for you and I, what we will be experiencing. But for the in the aggregate, for all of mankind, time of abundance. Just one of the scriptures that relate to that. Feast of Tabernacles. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. The days come, says the Lord, the plowman shall overtake the reaper, treader of grapes, him that sows seed. Mountains shall drop sweet wine, the hills shall melt. What do we have today? We have hunger, starvation, warfare, disease, and many other difficulties. After the fulfillment of the Day of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, this is a picture of what the earth will be like. Isaiah chapter 11 tells us, and we quote this scripture regularly at the Feast of Tabernacles, time of peace for all of mankind. Peace will finally come to the earth. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, the little child shall lead them. Cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Showing that even the wild, rapacious creatures, as we see them now on the face of the earth, are going to be transformed entirely. Their nature is going to be entirely transformed. It also shows that there will be a time when all of mankind will be keeping these very same holy days. Zechariah 14, verse 16. It shall come to pass. Pretty emphatic statement. Everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the seventh stop on our journey to the kingdom. What are we to do as we celebrate this now? Deuteronomy 14 and verse 23. This is how we are instructed to behave when this Feast of Trumpets comes. You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn, your oil, your wine, and of the firstlings of your herd and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. We are to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in such a way that we understand what God is doing. That's what we, when we go there, isn't it? We go there to learn what God is doing and to have the proper kind of respect for God. Last stop, destination, completion of the journey. Final step on the trip to the kingdom. Outline tells us from Leviticus 23, verse 39, on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Talking about the eighth day now, the we call the last great day. The last great day, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, this is what it pictures. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Resurrection of the dead. The dead, small and great, stand. If they're dead, they can't stand, can they? They have to be resurrected. And they will stand before God. The books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The inference here, well, it's not an inference. It's a clear-cut statement. It's a clear statement. Book of life for these people has not been opened prior to this. It's going to be opened for these people. The book of life will be opened. The dead were judged out of those things written in the books. There'll be a time when all of mankind will be given the knowledge which is now being withheld from them that is contained in our Bible. And then they will live a period of life, and they will be judged based on how they live their lives as we are being judged now. As Peter said, judgment is now on the house of God. Ezekiel chapter 37 gives a lot of the details of that resurrection. I won't read those now. I'm already in a deficit to Mason. But all of mankind will be resurrected and judged. That's really a great day. That is the great point. It is our destination, ultimately. All of mankind will be judged. And we surmise that based on the scriptures, which says God is not willing that any should perish, that most of them will receive eternal life in the family of God. Right now, there's only a few of us who are part of that house of God. But ultimately, all of mankind falls into that same category. It's just a matter of time for them. Instructive for us, we can be a part of God's plan in helping and instructing all of these people as they make a spiritual journey in the same way that we are making it now along this roadmap to that kingdom. Well, the journey to the kingdom is concluded. God's holy day plan directs our path. So is it necessary to keep God's holy days? It's not optional. It's not optional. It is commanded. If you're going to be a part of God's family and God's kingdom. If we do not keep them, we will be like modern Christianity. And we will not understand the definition or meaning of God's kingdom. They don't understand it. Our understanding comes from the fact that we keep these holy days and we keep the Sabbath day. That gives us, it is God's gift to us, to give us understanding about who we are, where we're going, and how to get there. It is our road map to the kingdom.